John chapter 60, would stand, would you find your place there? Read the same verses read this morning, then we'll go on with the rest of the chapter. Try to. Amen. Starting verse number 22, the day following when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came also other boats from Tiberias, and nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. You can be seated again tonight. Lord, again, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, pray help me tonight as I preach. Pray give me words to say. And Lord, pray you guard our hearts and guard our minds and guard me. Lord, I pray you help me to say things I need to say. And Lord, I pray your will be done here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I told you, notice that question they mentioned there, when camest thou hither? They asked Jesus, how'd you get here? And he said, you asked me the wrong question. They came for the wrong reason, looking for the wrong thing. Ask the same thing I asked you this morning. What are you looking for? I appreciate you listening this morning, and I appreciate you coming back tonight. The devil fought me all day Saturday and all night and all morning this morning until I started preaching. Amen. And Lord, help me. Allow me to preach this morning with liberty. I'm thankful for that. Amen. And then the devil started fighting again as soon as it was over with. But I know that just confirms in my heart that I'm preaching I'm supposed to be preaching because the devil don't like it. The devil's not going to like it when the Lord's working. I'm thankful to see people this morning. I'm thankful to see hearts being worked on this morning. Not because of me, because of the word of God, what God was doing in hearts. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing. And the Lord reminded me, if the devil's fighting, the Lord reminded me, my kids were singing on the way home earlier, that song, if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. And you know what? The devil can just sit on attack. I don't care what, if he likes it or not. I'm going to preach what the word says. I'm thankful for the privilege to get to be back in church tonight. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Like a couple people, yeah. The Lord's talking, I'm going to try to go back tonight and try to finish up here where we left off this morning in chapter number 6. And I feel like while I was studying, I had entirely too much to cover, and I did have entirely too much to cover, and that was apparent to me this morning. The Lord gave him peace to stop where I did. And I'm going to try to pick it up back tonight and try to close this out. I'm not going to try to belabor anything, just going to get through. I'm not going to skip anything either. Get to the end and cover what this passage has, what it's saying to us, what we need to learn from it. So, Lord, so I'm going to try to preach again, the same title, What Are You Looking For? This morning we looked at verses 22 through 40. We saw that some came looking for food. Instead of granting their lustful, selfish desires, Jesus told them that what they really needed, and what they really needed was him. He said, I am the bread of life. He's the I am. We saw his plan for salvation, him and the Father. And eventually, after Pentecost, Holy Ghost coming in, dwelling inside of man as well. They all three work together as one. We saw it all happens immediately. It's not a gradual thing. And once it's done, it's done. We don't have to worry about it. If you're saved, it's out of your hand. You're in his hands now. Don't matter who you are. He will not cast you out. You're in his hands. But some of these folks here just came looking for food. Some came looking for food. Number two, only got through one point. It's more number two. Some came looking for a fight. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him. This is the religious leaders, the Jews. Then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Either these Jews just walked up in this passage, or they have had their ears shut for these last several verses. He's been talking, preaching to them. What have they been listening to? Out of all of what he said, and the part they hung up on was, he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Which is way up in his preaching is going on here. They are mad that Jesus told them the truth that he was from heaven. They didn't want to accept that fact. The Jews then murmured at him, it says. They aren't come to believe on him. They aren't come to learn from him. They don't care about him. They are come simply to argue with him. They have come to pick a fight. There are a lot of folks today that don't care about witnessing. They don't care about getting the gospel out. They don't care about missions. I'm thankful that our church cares about missions. Some folks don't care about missions or the work of the church. They just want an argument. Can I give you a little advice? Let the Bible stand for itself. Quote scripture, yes, let the Bible stand for itself. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven and over in Psalms. It's settled there, it can definitely stand here. So the Jews have come to fight, and the Lord just gave them the word of God. He didn't fight with them. They're come looking for a fight. What was their argument? Their argument was in who Jesus said he was. What was their reasoning? Their reasoning, the basis of their argument, was what they thought was the truth. You're arguing with the Word of God because it didn't go along with what they thought. Verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They reason, their reason they are arguing with Jesus was what they thought was the truth in their own minds. Arguing with the Word of God because of what they thought. It didn't go along with what they thought. Don't they really need to point out the resemblance here? You see the picture we have here. That's in our day today, looking for a fight with the Word of God because of what they believe in their own. This is our nation today. What is Jesus' response here? He tells them not to murmur and then repeats what he's already said before. Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered, said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which he has sent draw him, and I will raise him up to the last. This is the same thing he said before in verse 37. We already looked at verse 44. The Holy Spirit draws, the Father gives, and the Son keeps. Those all three work together as one. We see the supernatural, the supernatural working along with our own selves believing. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. It is written in the prophets. What is that talking about? It's quoting Isaiah 54:13, perhaps. It says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Or he could be quoting Jeremiah 31:34, which is basically the same thing. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know of me, from the least of them even to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I'll forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. Both these are prophecies of the New Jerusalem. That could have been the Jews that he's talking to now had they accepted him, but they rejected him. And so we see this is talking about millennial kingdom now. His point is, he's explained the verses before, the Father will teach them. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. How does the Father draw? Through teaching, and teaching the Word of God. It takes a wise teacher, of course, and we got a very wise teacher, God the Father, Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. It also takes a willing student to learn. Jesus says, every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. What is the point? If you listen to the drawing through the teaching of the Word, you will learn that you are a sinner, and it is Jesus that you really need. When you learn that, you'll come to him. Yes. That's what it's teaching. In other words, what the Word will do, the Word will point you to Jesus. Amen. The Father will draw you. He'll teach you. You'll learn from him. And when you that teaching, that learning is going to draw you, make you come to, it's draw you to Jesus Christ. Point you. The Word points to Jesus. Verse 24, John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Teaching through the word, drawing through the word of God. Jesus expounds more on this in the next verse, verse 46. He's just nailing down again that he is the very Son of God. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, for he hath seen the Father. He said, no, none of you have seen the Father. But I have. I came from him. That's what he's saying here. Again, he's just making the point. I have come down from heaven. I was with the Father. I was with him. I am God. Now, Jesus is going to go back to the bread again. That's what they're mad about. He's going to go back to it again. That's what they're fighting about. He's just going to hit it one more time and nail it down tight. I am the bread of life. Remember about those verily, verilys here in John's gospel. They're important. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. No more qualification needed. He that believeth hath everlasting life. Is yours. I told you this morning, all of those things happen immediately. You believe, God the Father gives you to the Son. You cometh, shall cometh at the same time, all immediately. You believe, and you immediately have everlasting. It's yours. You possess it. Can't be taken away. No more qualification needed. Yes, sir. Verse 48, I am the bread of life, in case they forgot. Verse 49, your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He's going to lay down his life for the world. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus here expounding this more to them. They are again taking it literal, not as the analogy that it is. He says, I am the bread of life. They say, well, how are we supposed to eat you? That's what they're saying here. If you'll eat this bread, you'll receive it inside of it. He shall live forever, he says. Have eternal life. He says, the bread I give is my flesh. What does that mean? That just means he's going to die for him. And he did. He died for us. And what did they do? It says they strove among themselves. Still mad about this bread. Still mad because they're wanting to eat, apparently. They are, again, just looking for a fight. First, they're fighting with Jesus, fighting Jesus. Now they're fighting amongst themselves about what Jesus is preaching. Jesus responds to them. Notice, again, verily, verily. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. The first group, what do they want? They wanted food. What did he give them? He gave them the truth that what they really needed was him. The second group, they wanted an argument. He didn't give them fuel for the argument. He just told them again the truth. They needed him. He says, except you eat of the flesh and drink of the blood. Now, obviously, Jesus doesn't want us to be cannibals and eat him and drink him his blood. Obviously, that's obvious to us here today. That's exactly how the Jews took it. They don't understand. Lord, how can we eat your flesh and drink your blood? Not understanding what he's talking about here. Sadly, this is also how the Roman Catholicism takes it as well. And maybe some Protestant religions as well. They believe that the wine and the cracker at their communion literally becomes flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. That's why it's held so sacred. Here's the problem. Jesus isn't talking about communion here. He hasn't instituted a communion yet. He hasn't even instituted a church yet. He hasn't even told his disciples about taking the cup and the bread yet. Why would he tell a group of unbelieving people about the communion before he told his own people about it? He's not talking about communion. Second, what about all those Old Testament saints and the thief on the cross and John the Baptist and whoever else that didn't get to go to a church and partake in communion? Does that mean they don't have eternal life? Of course not. Look at Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not God, for God took him. Did he go by church and take part in communion first? No. I understand that's Old Testament. I understand. God took him. So what is he talking about? What is Jesus talking about here? He says that whosoever eateth and drinketh liveth forever. Does that mean that every person that ever takes communion is saved? No. You should be to partake in it, but that doesn't make you saved. There's no regeneration power inside communion. This isn't talking about communion whatsoever. He's saying taking him in, receiving him like you would bread, like you would the blood, the drink, drinketh and believeth, eateth and drinketh. He says the bread of life, believing in his blood as the atonement. He's saying the same thing he said in verse number 35. Verse 35, and Jesus said to him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You can change the words believeth, cometh and believeth, for eateth and drinketh. It means the same thing. Just believe on him. Take him in as you would eat, as you would drink. Receive him in. Come unto him. He's going to be inside of you. Believe on him. That is what he's saying here. This is not literal communion. You can see how taking a verse out of context can cause so much damage. That pastor's taken an entire church, the largest church organization in the entire earth, takes this doctrine out of context because of one verse. Okay, be careful. What does the Bible say in context? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. No private interpretations. Take the whole Bible as one. You can't take one verse here and one verse there and build a doctrine. This is a dangerous thing, and that's why we have many of these so-called religions going on today, because they take one verse out of context. The Jews didn't get it, and many today still don't get it. But if we just read the entire Word of God, it's right here. It explains itself. Here's in verse 58. This is the bread, not the manna like your fathers had that they died after they ate it, but a living bread, a greater bread, a bread of life that won't mold away, won't go away, will last forever. He's not going to change, not going to go away. He's going to last forever. No need to argue. He is the eternal, self-existent God. He's not going to go away. No need to argue. It'll stand. Some came for food. Some came looking for a fight. Both times he just gave him himself, gave him Jesus. We see more. Some came, and then they were looking to flee. Verse number 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said to them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He said, this is a hard thing. This, many of his disciples here, it mentions, it's not the 12, as we'll see in a minute. The 12 are still there. This is more, there's more of them at this point, but not for long. There's 12 that ordained, set apart. There's many more that have been following him. Not now. This is a hard saying, they said. Why? Because they're not following the analogy. And it's against their Jewish teaching. He's saying he's from heaven, because he is. And they said, Lord, this is hard. How can we believe this? This is, in the Jews' eyes, this was heresy, blasphemous. This is the truth. They believe their tradition over the word of God. It offends him because in their mind they see him as wrong. He says, does this offend you? What if you see me go back into heaven? Is that going to offend you too? I came down from heaven. What if I go back? What about when I go back? He says in verse 63, he's speaking of the Spirit. The Spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. These people, they are looking for fleshly profit. That is the problem here. All these people have come at this point, they're looking for fleshly profit. They're looking for food. They're looking for make themselves stronger, looking for power. They aren't looking for truth. They haven't been drawn by the Father to Jesus. They are coming to Jesus looking. They're not coming to Jesus looking for truth. The Spirit is not quickening them. They are coming looking for food and looking for a fight, looking for fleshly profit alone. He says, I'm talking about the things of the Spirit, not literal bread, just like the Samaritan woman, not literal water. He's speaking of spiritual things here because they are not understanding. Why? Because they believe not. They're not being drawn by the Father to the Son because they believe not. He says in verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. John has something in here, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Jesus is still God. He knows. He always has known. He always will know. We try to use human logic to describe godly things, and it doesn't work. God is outside of time. The beginning and the end, he can see them at the same exact time. They're happening right now at the same time, before creation, during the tribulation period, whatever period you want to put together, he can see all of them at the same time right now. He can see you before you were saved. He can see you after you're saved. He sees every sin you've committed, every time you've done right, every time you've done wrong. He sees it all at the same time. And he died for you seeing all of those things. He knows it all. In verse 65, Jesus mentioning the same thing again he mentioned in verse 44 and verse 37. It takes the drawing of the Father through the Holy Ghost, through the teaching of his word. They all three have to work together as one. Jesus saying, you don't believe me. You're not here for the Spirit. You haven't learned. You're not being drawn. You're simply here for fleshly profit. Some of you believe not. You're here looking for food. You're here looking for a fight. And now you're looking to get out of here because it's not matching up with what you want. What happened after that? Jesus lost the majority of his crowd. Majority of them gone. If you preach the truth, probably won't have a very big crowd. Jesus had 12. One of them didn't believe. Everyone left but the 12. Look at our nation today. Look at huge mega churches. They're doing nothing but feeding a lie, telling people how good they are. They're patting them on the back, telling them they don't need to change. They don't need to stop sinning. They don't need any of those things. They just need to know God is love and everything's okay. We should just include everybody and everyone, and we can all go home and we can be sin, stay in our sin and be happy about it. No wonder they have such a big crowd. Give them what they want. Give them the food. Give them the fight. Whatever they want is fleshly profit. And that's why the crowd stayed. Look at Joel Osteen, point fingers tonight. Almost 17,000-seat auditorium at his Lakewood Church there in Texas. All of his book sales. And now you can get these little cubes, Joel cubes, inspirational quotes every day. Makes you sick. Man's worth over $40 million. Why? Because he's feeding people a lie. It's okay. He's telling them it's okay. You're okay. Just be good. You're a good person. And they're paying him to do it. As soon as Jesus gave them the truth, and not the food, and not the fight they wanted, they were ready to flee. And they did. They weren't looking for him. They weren't looking for truth. They just wanted fleshly profit. They didn't want anything to do with believing. They didn't want anything to do with the Father guiding them. They didn't want anything to do with the drawing them. They didn't want anything to do with him teaching them. They didn't want anything to do with anything spiritual. They wanted food, they wanted the Messiah to come and rule and reign and give them power, make them powerful themselves. And as soon as Jesus refused to give them what they wanted, they're looking to flee. What about you today? Did you come looking for food? We talked about it this morning. Did you come looking for a fight? Or are you now looking to flee? If you're saved, the truth of the Word of God is, if you're not saved, the truth of the Word of God is not going to taste good. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting. It's called conviction. It's there for a reason. That's the teaching of the Word of God. It's going to hurt. Why is it? It's a real thing. Are you looking to flee? I wrote this morning. Are you looking to flee tonight? Are you tired of hearing? Ready to get out of here? Once Jesus gave them the truth, they're ready to skip out on him. Ready to flee. They didn't like the truth. There are a few more verses left here, thankfully. Some came looking for food. Some came looking for a fight. After that, some were looking to flee. There were a few. There's 11 of them. We're looking for a friend. We wanted a Savior. Verse 67. And so Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Simple question, Jesus asked him, will you also go away? Peter, stepping up to speak as he usually does, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, spoken like a born-again child of God. Lord, why would I go anywhere else when you have everything I need? If you're saved this morning, if this evening, if you've been saved, if you're part of the family of God, there's no need to go to anywhere else. You're not going to want to go anywhere else. He is the bread of life. You're not going to be hungry for anything else. Why would I go to a dead man's religion, the group of people worshiping a man who died long ago? Confucius doesn't have eternal life. Muhammad doesn't have eternal life. Buddha doesn't have eternal life. There's one. And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have everything we need. We believe and are sure, he says, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus hasn't called himself Christ one time in this passage. He says, bread of life. He constantly says, cometh down from above. He speaks of his Father. Peter says, you art that Christ. He says, Jesus, we aren't going anywhere because you're the one we've been waiting for. You're the one we need. I want to ask you this evening, what are you here looking for today? You looking for some food? Fleshly, lustful desires? You looking for a fight? Again, arrogant, prideful flesh. Looking to flee? Just looking for a way out? Maybe you're looking for a friend. If it's the latter, I've got good news for you. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Everyone seeth the Son and believeth in him, he may have everlasting life. What are you looking for tonight? You might think, oh, that's it. All those that stayed, they obviously believed. And all the ones that are in the house of God, in the family of God, were believers. That's what you might think. Not the family of God, in there with God. And that's what Peter thought. And that's at this time, that's probably what John thought as well. Verse number 70. Jesus answered him, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Have not I chosen you? How did he choose them? As his close apostles. He called them out separately, those 12. He ordained them to be the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. And even one of them is a devil. At the time, they didn't know who he was talking about. John here points out exactly who he's talking about. John goes on and tells us, even amidst the closest apostles of Christ, there was one that would not believe. Did Jesus force him not to believe? No. Did Jesus choose him to be part of the 12? Yes, he did. It says it right here. He eventually is going to fulfill a prophecy. We know that. This man's going to spend day after day listening to Jesus preach, and his heart is not going to change. Jesus himself calls him a devil, and it's a powerful accusation. We don't have time to get into all that right now. That word devil there, it's a powerful thing. Here's the point. Just because you're in church, just because you're around the things of Jesus, just doesn't automatically make you a believer. If a man can sit under Jesus for 3 years and still be his enemy, what would happen today? This thing is personal. Jesus says, come and believe. What are you looking for today? You come looking for food, for personal gain. You're looking for a fight because of your own belief. Looking to flee. Maybe there's somebody looking for a friend. Looking for a Savior, a lot more than a friend. He says he makes us his friend. He'll be one. I don't know what you're looking for this evening. If you come looking for Jesus, if you come looking for a friend, you can find one in him. He's not going to turn you in. He's not going to cast you out. What are you looking for? If you come seeking him, he's not hard to find. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Will you come today? Are you saved this evening? The Lord's working on hearts this morning. I don't know what's going on this evening. Would you come? What are you waiting for? What are you holding out on? What are you waiting to happen? What are you putting your faith in? These people are putting their faith in meat and putting their faith in bread and putting their faith in a fight against the Savior. What are you looking for tonight? If you're looking for a friend, looking for a Savior, you can find one. What'd you come to church looking for? Well, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for us to be here tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, on Calvary. And Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I pray anyone here tonight that are lost, Lord, I pray you save them before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I pray you draw them and work on their hearts, Lord. I pray you wouldn't be able to get away from it. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for us to be here tonight. In Jesus' name.